Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Wherefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, for all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one man's trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we endeavor into this passage of Scripture, as we seek to understand what you have said about our heritage, about our biology, and about the new life that we can have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we would respond by choosing you, that we would respond by surrendering our lives to follow you, to trust you, to allow you to be the one who represents us. May you do this in bringing great praise and honor and glory to Jesus' name. Amen. So, David and Goliath. How many have heard the story of David and Goliath? Way too few of you raised your hands. Right? The story of David and Goliath. Of course, there's a wonderful song. One little boy named David, right? Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David. I can't remember the rest right now. Was that close? But he could pray and sing. That's right. I could do it in tune because the music keeps the words coming to my head. But I was singing that with the children in Bible school last year with the preschoolers because we got rained out and we had to come inside. And so we were playing games. And it was a little bit, the games were a little bit out of control. So we decided to sing some songs. And I decided to sing the songs with them. And I went all the way through the song and the stone took off. And it hit the giant in the head, and you, if you're from the right age bracket, the response to the giant being hit in the head is you tumble down to the ground. So I tumbled down to the ground, and all of the toddlers, one by one, jumped on top of me. And I couldn't get them off. Somebody had to come and help me out. David and Goliath. We talk about David and Goliath. It's used in illustrations all the time about how we can conquer great and mighty giants in our lives as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good. That's a great and wonderful. It's a wonderful analogy. But it falls short of what the story means for us. See, the thing is, Goliath is the man that we would choose, all right? If we were going into battle, we would see Goliath, we would see his stature, and we would go, that's the guy who's going to win, right? My money is on him. Nobody's going to choose David. He's ill-equipped. He is untrained in the ways of war. Nobody is going to choose David to be their representative. The natural thing is to choose Goliath. And the story is about how man fails. The best of the best of the best of the soldiers of the Philistines fails. And David, this young man, conquers. And the giant is the thing that Jesus conquers. David, in the story, is the representative we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the victor. You have to understand this. You have to remember this reading all the way through Scripture. You have to remember that this story that we've been given is about Jesus. David represents Jesus conquering the enemies of Israel. Jesus conquering death. Jesus conquering sin. Jesus is the victor. And we get to John chapter 3, Nicodemus. It's everybody's favorite verse in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world, right? But that first section, before you get to verse 16, that first section when Nicodemus is talking to Jesus is so important. Because Nicodemus says, "What is it that I have to do to enter the kingdom?" And Jesus says, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus looks at him like he has three heads. And says, "What are you talking about?" And Jesus says, "Have you not read the entire law? You've studied the law and you don't understand it? That the biology that you have right now is leading you to death and hell. And if you want to spend an eternity in heaven, you have to be transformed. You have to be born again into a new family, into the family of God. You have to be infused with the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything has to change." So then we get to Romans. Romans chapter 5, and the Apostle Paul spends the rest of Romans chapter 5 explaining these things to us that we already see written in the previous chapters of Scripture. And he lets us know that Jesus is a new representative. He is a better representative. Adam is the best of us. You understand this? Adam is the best of us. He is who man should be if there was no sin. And he fails. He says, "Wherefore, we have been taught and hopefully understand from this wherefore that God loved us," right? Romans tells us God loved us. Romans tells us we rejected God. God didn't reject us. We rejected God. We surrendered to the flesh. Jesus sacrificed himself to restore us to God, the God that we rejected. And this restoration can only take place as we surrender our inability to make ourselves right with God and place our hope in Christ Jesus for salvation. It's the only way it's corrected. And knowing these things that we've studied through, these things that we've studied through the first four and a half chapters of Romans, knowing these things, a comparison is being made now in the end of chapter 5 for our decision making. Am I going to be represented by Adam, who is the best of us? Or am I going to be represented by Christ, the Son of God who gave himself for us? So let's look at this. Let's look at what Adam brings us as our representative. Okay? First of all, just as sin came into the world through one man. All right? First thing we find out about Adam. Adam released sin into the creation through his disobedience. Okay? So, if Adam is going to be the individual that you are going to have as your representative, know that Adam, as the best of us, is the one who made sin possible in this world. And through sin, both death, both physical and spiritual, they enter the world. He says, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. Some terms for you to consider. Death in two parts. Death is separation from God because of what Adam did. We do not get to walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day. It's Adam's fault. Death, physical death, old age, disease, accidents, calamities, disaster, all of those things are a result of Adam's sin. They came into the world. So through sin, death, both physical and spiritual, enter the world. And so death spreads to all men, for all sinned. Adam's very nature is stained with sin and passed to all of his offspring. I read a book when I was my first year out of high school. I would say that I scarcely read a book in high school. But I got out of high school, and I think Tracy gave me this book, The Oath. Did you give me that? I got this book, The Oath. Frank Peretti, right? Big, big book, right? So the thing that you have to know is when I decide to do something, I go big, right? It's just, I decide, all right, I'm going to be a reader, so I read this big book. And I don't remember much about it at all, really. But one thing, The Stain. Has anybody ever read The Oath? The Stain, yeah. The Stain. So you know what I'm talking about. This stain that you can't get off, that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and causes you to be haunted by death. And he's displayed a picture there of what is actually in each and every one of us. We are stained with sin because of what our representative did in Adam. We have this stain on us that we can't get rid of. And so death spread to all men, for all sinned. This is the stain. He's passed it to his offspring. It's interesting. I have this strange disease. It's the reason we go to Mayo Clinic every year. And two of my children have this disease. And the disease, we get tumors. We get tumors in our endocrine system. We get tumors in our muscles and things like that, and they have to be removed, right? And so, but the deal is, Henry doesn't have it, all right? And the reason Henry doesn't have it is because of genetics, all right? If they get Tracy's gene, then they don't have it. If they get mine, then they get it. And if they have it, they can pass it on. And if they don't have it, they don't pass it on anymore. All right? So listen, the sinfulness that we have is a biological problem. If you are a child of Adam, anybody here know they're a child of Adam? That is 100%. You can go. Just go ahead. This is the, right? If you are a child of Adam, because of Adam's sin, you have sin in you. Adam passed on this stain of sin to each and every one of his offspring. Adam was disobedient to one law leading to our condemnation. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. This is 13. But sin is not counted where there is no law. All right, so listen to this. Adam didn't have to keep track of many things. One thing. All right? Guys, how many times has your wife said to you, you just had to remember one thing? One thing, right? It's happened. Promise. Right? You just had to do one thing. Adam was responsible to do one thing. Moses' law hadn't been established. He had this one thing to obey. He had one expectation, and he gives into temptation. He chooses Eve over God, and he follows his own logic rather than believing God, and he eats the fruit. Adam was disobedient to one law, which led to our condemnation. One thing. Yet, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though those who sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. So, through Adam's disobedience, men who were without an established law gave themselves to sin continually, continuing a legacy of death. All right, now listen. The best of us, do you understand this? Adam was the best of us. And he failed to do one thing that he was asked to do. And as the human race, Adam's children, multiplied across the globe, from Adam to Moses, even though there was no law, they still failed. They indulged. They indulged themselves into sin and created a legacy of death. That's what we have. We have a legacy of death. Bones and ash piled upon bones and ash piled upon bones and ash. Because Adam's our representative. Adam was a picture of Christ, but the picture failed. The picture failed. All pictures. Listen, we try so hard. And God tries to show us a physical representation in the Old Testament of what Jesus is going to look like. And they all fall short. They're just not good enough. Adam was a picture of Christ, and the picture failed, who was a type of the one who was to come. And so we're led to ask, am I going to believe in salvation by grace, or am I going to believe in salvation by the law? You remember, Adam had to obey. How many things did Adam have to obey? One thing. How many things did he get wrong? One thing. Now that the law has been established, there are multiple things that you have to get right if you're going to have salvation by the law. So we have salvation by grace versus obedience to the law. Paul shows us, but the free gift is not like the trespass. Grace is the free gift. Disobedience to the law is the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, so if the natural seed of death was powerful through the failing of Adam in disobedience, all right, so the power of this disobedience to one thing had the power to create death to the entire creation. Paul says, for if many died through this one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So we have, first of all, that if the natural seed of death was powerful through the failing of Adam in disobedience, the spiritual seed of Jesus Christ is more powerful as a gift of grace. More powerful. What you have been given through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is more powerful than the stain of sin that was placed upon us because of Adam's disobedience. I heard one amen. This is good stuff. What Jesus did for us overcomes the disobedience of Adam that has been cast down from generation to generation to generation until the end of mankind on this earth. The spiritual seed of Jesus Christ is more powerful than the gift of grace. And the free gift, verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. The result of grace through Jesus' obedience is different than Adam's disobedience. The result is different. For the judgment following the one man's trespass brought condemnation. So Adam's disobedience in one thing results in a curse on man. This is the difference. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. God's gift of grace through Jesus' death results in the redemption of man in spite of many acts of disobedience. So here's the difference. Adam's disobedience, he disobeyed how many things? One thing. As a result of Adam's one disobedience, condemnation has been given to all men. A curse has been placed on all men. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So even though Jesus had to deal with all of the sins that had taken place from the time of Adam until the end of this world, every sin, he still justified us through his blood. What did we say? What he did is more powerful than Adam's disobedience. For if because of, verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The reign of life through one act of obedience unto grace is greater than the reign of death through one act of disobedience. What Jesus did on the cross in his obedience to the Father has a greater impact. It does more than Adam's one act of disobedience ever could in the restoration of all of the creation. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Sin led to condemnation of all men in Adam. Listen, everyone who is in Adam and remains in Adam, who keeps Adam as their representative, as their family head, all of those individuals are going to spend an eternity in death, period. That's the curse. Stay with Adam, spend an eternity in death. But righteousness, one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Righteousness leads to redemption for all men in Jesus Christ. So all of those who turn to Jesus and are born again into his family have their DNA become like the DNA of Christ rather than the DNA of Adam. They are infused with his blood. Those individuals are changed forever. They are redeemed. So what's it look like? What's it look like if we say, Adam, you don't represent me anymore? What does it look like when we say, Jesus is going to be my representative? Jesus is going to be the one that I claim. Do any of you like football? You like football, right? Some of you. Not this year so much because the Bears didn't do so well, right? Is that, that's how it works, right? But, you know, I was growing up, I have always, always been a Detroit Lions football fan. I'm still a Detroit Lions football fan, even though I admittedly, I hope my parents don't listen to this, don't watch them ever, right? But it's just a family thing. Like I have to root for the Lions, right? But growing up, my family would root for the Lions, and I would say, yeah, go Lions, that's great. But then I would watch Joe Montana and I would think, why am I rooting for the Lions? And I'd root for them because they represent my place. They represent my state. They represent my family. That is, my grandpa has a Detroit Lions lion on the side of the wall in his basement, right? And so we stick with the Lions. And every year, they win the first couple games, and we go, this is the year. And then they lose the rest. And it's just frustration upon frustration upon frustration. And sometimes I want to go, it looked like Kansas City was going to have a good season when we were living in there. I was like, I'm living here, right? That's justification to root for the Chiefs, right? So I should have just switched. They didn't end up doing so well anywhere. Wait, but the reason I tell you that is some people are so determined to hold on to Adam. They can't even explain why they keep it. Because it keeps letting them down and keeps letting them down and keeps letting them down. He's not a good representative. And Paul is saying, quit thinking that Adam and his family, that they know the right way to do it, and follow Jesus. Let him be the one who represents you. So what does it look like if Jesus is my representative? What does it look like for me as a teenager if I choose to root for the 49ers, right? I know, I'm a happy man. That's what happens. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Jesus' act of obedience has established righteousness in us. Period. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The result of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is his righteousness is placed upon me. In the same manner, but in a greater way, we have Jesus' righteousness on us than the sin that had stained us from Adam. And when God sees us, he doesn't see the sin anymore. He sees Jesus. He goes, no, that guy, when I see that guy, I'm sorry, I know you say that he's bad. I know that you say that she's bad, but that individual, all I can see is Jesus. That's all I can see. Because he's such a good representative. And now the law came to increase the trespass where sin increased. But grace abounded all the more. So the law came to make the trespass even greater, the task of following God more insurmountable, and grace abounded. It was stronger. So Jesus had a greater challenge of obedience and overcame. You understand that? Adam had to get one thing right. Jesus had to fulfill all of the law. And he did it. Jesus had a greater challenge of obedience and overcame, establishing a greater grace than the condemnation resulting from the curse. Because Jesus was victorious, the curse no longer has a place on us who have made him. This is important. On those of us who have made him our representative, we are no longer people of this world, we are individuals who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ into eternity. We don't care anymore about the things of this world. We don't care about the things that they say are important. We care about the things that Jesus says are important. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus, we have eternal life, and death has been removed from its rule over us. It's gone. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those individuals who have made Jesus Christ their representative, are the only individuals in the world who can see an individual who they love die and get buried into the grave and celebrate that they are now made complete, that for them life is new. Everybody else, everybody who sticks with Adam as their representative, everybody who keeps their focus on this world, on this life, on this flesh, all of those individuals, when they die, we are saddened because we know that they are spending an eternity in hell. And so here's the choice. Paul's laid it out. A clear differentiation between those who are represented by Adam and those who are represented by Jesus Christ. And the question is this: will I continue to be represented by Adam, who failed when tested by one thing and plunged all those who represented him into death? Or will I be represented by Christ? None of us who know the story, not a single one of us who know the story is cheering for Goliath. You know why? Because the little kids will tell you the giant came tumbling down. That's why. The Bible's told us the story. Those who remain of this world, those who remain connected to Adam and his sin, all of them are going to fall down. So will we choose Adam, or will we choose to be represented by Christ, who has already overcome when tempted in every way and provided a way through grace, which is more powerful than the curse, which leads to life everlasting? This is the choice. Every one of us, we need to make that choice when we acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And I pray that if there is anyone here who has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would hear me today, that if you want to be victorious, you have to choose Jesus. But the second is for us believers. No. Very few people get upset about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in evangelicalism. But today individuals get upset when they say that if Jesus is my representative, then he's the one I have to follow. I have to do what he says. So for some of you, the choice today and on a daily basis is to decide, am I going to follow Jesus today or am I going to follow Adam? Because Adam, it looks like maybe Adam's got something right. And I'm telling you, Adam got it wrong. Jesus always gets it right. As you leave here today, who are you going to choose as your representative? And when you wake up tomorrow, who are you going to choose as your representative? I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose Christ.